You're listening to Banal Leakage, Episode 15, Replacements, Removals, and Mergers. Episode 15, allergy season is here. I've been sneezing like crazy the last few days. You know, As I've talked about in previous episodes, I like the weather turning warmer, but I could do without this constant sneezing. You know, there's a lot of pollen in the air and everything, and it's just that time of the year. So let's see if I can get through this podcast without having to sneeze too much. And the warmer weather didn't last. Couple days this last week, Thursday and Friday were really nice, and Saturday started to turn a little awkward with wind, and today being Sunday, rain and cold temps, which I like to call extended winter, which means it's an all-indoors day today. And with that, let's start the news. David Letterman announces his retirement from CBS's Late Show. Stephen Colbert is his replacement. Evidently, Mr. Letterman and CBS head honcho Les Moonves both pegged Colbert as their top choice. Now, I'm a little curious about this because, you know, there's also another show called The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. And I had thought that Craig Ferguson would have been considered for replacing David Letterman, but I guess not. And Craig does hint after this news was announced this last week that he will most likely leave when Letterman leaves, which is the end of 2015. Stephen Colbert, who does the Colbert Report on Comedy Central, will drop his current persona as a right-wing talk show host, and he's just going to be himself when he starts his hosting duties in late 2015. I like him, although I admit to liking Jon Stewart a bit more from The Daily Show. Regardless, Colbert should do well to take The Late Show into the next many years of broadcast. David Letterman has really been a mainstay in the late-night talk show arena. He started his career as a talk radio host, moved into television as a weatherman, and then, you know, eventually moved into doing the Late Show hosting gig on NBC for years before he was pegged to replace Johnny Carson on the Tonight Show, but that went to Jay Leno, and I'm not much of a fan of Jay Leno, but that's for another topic. He decided to compete against the Tonight Show. Moved from NBC to CBS, and that's where he's been since 1993. And he's 67 years old. He's leaving, in my opinion, he's leaving on top, and I hope that this last year will be just as memorable as the last 21 years. Pharrell Williams performs at Coachella 2014. This year's breakout set, this was last night, Saturday night, so this year's breakout set had the singer. He was joined on stage by a whole bunch of people. Snoop Dogg, Nelly, Busta Rhymes, Gwen Stefani, Puff Daddy. It was an hour-long set, and I enjoyed it. And, of course, he had his signature, you know, Arby's hat. That's what I think that hat looks like, the one he had at the Grammys and the Oscars. You know, and I'm not a big fan of Pharrell. I mean, I don't dislike him, but I do like his sound, and he's quite the producer too. I like his, he did well with this set. He broke out into songs like "Hot in Here," and that's when Nelly came out on stage. Jay-Z's "I Just Wanna Love You," and of course the crowd went nuts for just about everything he did, including his ending number, Happy, from the Despicable Me 2 soundtrack. Coachella, it is a three-day festival held in Indio, California, just outside Palm Springs, in the Palm Desert. And basically, every year, They have two weekends, and the weekends are identical. So both, you know, the bands that perform one weekend also perform the next weekend. So if you missed this weekend and you're available next weekend, and you can pay a lot of money for, you know, a decent ticket for next weekend, head out to the heat of the Palm Desert. It's like 100 degrees out there already. And you can catch acts like the Reunited, Outcast, Toy Dolls, and the Replacements. All three of them reunited for this event. Longtime synth duo Pet Shop Boys are there. So is Arcade Fire, Broken Bells, Muse, and like 50 other bands. It's pretty incredible to see the lineup. Go to Coachella.com, and you can see who's playing. They have a list of who's playing each one of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. I've never been, but, you know, one of these years I actually plan to go. I've had a few friends go. I had one of my friends that's there this year, and he's been posting Instagrams, and just really cool. So the show notes for this have the YouTube video of the entire 1 hour Pharrell Williams, so his performance. So you can go out and check that out. Comcast and Time Warner Cable merger. So back in February, Comcast announced that they were going to buy Time Warner Cable for a combined deal worth $45 billion. Comcast is the nation's number one cable company and internet provider. Time Warner is number two in the cable and number three in the internet provider business. The merger will create a monopoly that hardly anyone can compete with. I mean, now granted, according to Comcast and according to these records, that as it is now, Comcast will not compete with Time Warner. In other words, they both provide service in different markets at this time. But if they become one company, they're going to command over 30 million customers, which is easily twice what AT&T and Cox Cable provide. And so I'm not a fan of mergers by any means. I don't think, you know, none of these mega mergers really make any sense. Comcast promises that prices won't be raised, that customer service won't be reduced, but, you know, other mega mergers, you know, I don't like it at one bit, because it creates a monopoly. There's less competition. Now there's a single company that, you know, commands this huge market that, you know, even smaller carriers can't compete with, you know. So Senator Al Franken, yes, the Saturday Night Live character, he's been a senator for many years now. He is the biggest opponent of this merger and many other mergers before it. Comcast, he spoke, there was a hearing this week, and the heads of Comcast and Time Warner Cable, and Al Franken gave his best opposition to this. You know, he brings up real issues of why these mergers should not happen, and, you know, they don't create competition, they reduce it. Comcast gave their own illogical reasons why the merger is good, like saying Netflix is a competitor. It's kind of crazy. You know, Netflix just paid Comcast to remove the bandwidth restrictions they placed on their streaming service to those who use Comcast for internet access. So Netflix can't really, I mean, I guess they do compete, you know, when it comes to on-demand services, but not really. You know, I mean, I don't understand. You know, Comcast also said that, you know, broadband companies that provide 4G and LTE wireless are also competition. Speed-wise, no. Price-wise, no. Data cap-wise, no. So I don't understand, you know, why they're going down these roads of thinking that there is this competition, which is irrelevant. You know, it's not there. So recently, Comcast has been voted the worst company in America. I think about that for a minute there. So I have Comcast here, where I live here in Utah and Salt Lake, and, you know, the internet service is reliable, but cable TV service, pretty shitty. It's poor. Prices are high. You know, we just recently this week are cutting back our TV programming to keep our bill under $90 a month, it was as much as $130 a month. I'll have to go into some of the other issues of, you know, why I don't like the Comcast TV. I mean, they dumb down the service. You know, you have to pay extra for HD. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. So I have looked at DirecTV, but I'm holding off for now. You know, just we're just going to get through the summer and then see what happens. You know, how we miss those extra channels that we had for the last little bit here. I'm hoping the government will block this merger, and you know, as they did with the AT&T and T-Mobile merger. You know, competition is important. It keeps these companies honest, keeps them their prices and their customer service up. And you know, we need fewer mergers. Mergers are not good for the economy and good for the consumer. The only thing these mergers do is make the heads of these companies even richer, and that's not a good thing. The anti-vaccination talking heads need to shut the hell up, specifically Jenny McCarthy. Her campaign against vaccinations is utter bullshit. Her voice has done a lot of harm over the years, and those who listen to her and have followed her advice have reversed a lot of progress. Measles and mumps have returned in many areas of the United States. We haven't heard cases of that since the 70s. Now we have kids that are unvaccinated that are exposing themselves to healthy kids and adults. Listen to your doctors and those who know what they're talking about, not a former Playboy playmate. Any autism fears are not warranted. So, you know, so many improvements have been done since the 50s. You know, there were some scares about autism with vaccinations and, you know, levels of mercury and other things, but no, things are safe and mandatory now. You know, just vaccinate your kids. Get yourself taken care of. Don't listen to these weirdos, you know. And, you know, I'm sorry if whatever experience they had, you know, it's unwarranted. So go get vaccinated. This week's shameless plug, Chicago Sun-Times temporarily removes commenting for online articles. The hate and racist and negative comments were taken away from the article content. You know, good for them for making this call. It's not a permanent change, but it's something that their, you know, their editorial staff is looking at. They're, you know, they're going to try and find a way to better implement and manage the comments to the articles. You know, many other sites have done something similar. I loathe seeing how negative people's comments can be, especially so on tech sites like The Verge and Engadget. Jeez, everyone hates everything, you know. I hate Apple. I hate Microsoft. I hate Google. I hate this. And you know, that everything always has to be hate. Shut the fuck up. You know, read the article, and if you have a valid comment that you disagree with, disagree professionally. I'm not sure why people always feel the need to hate and be negative. It's ridiculous. So kudos to Chicago Sun-Times for this, and any other sites that want to take back their comment section from the negative nannies. I remember being 15 once, all awkward and stoned. Want to leave feedback? Email podcast@banalleakage.com. Thank you for listening, and as always, if you can't be specific, just be random.